The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Cindy Fowler from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the Raleigh News and Observer, the Triangle Gardener Magazine, the National Gardening Association e-newsletter, the state-by-state gardening website, and maybe from Jerry Baker's terrific Garden Tonics. And we'll start with the state-by-state gardening website. This article is Getting in Shape by Susan Jason. A little planning ahead can maximize your enjoyment and minimize headaches when dealing with your landscape, maintenance in particular. A simple concept, but most often overlooked. This particularly applies to the layout and design of your planting beds. What could be so hard? It isn't hard, actually. It's quite easy when given some forethought. For example, a planting bed with square corners. They are easily made with straight-edged materials, but typically they're more time-consuming when it comes to mowing and trimming. Consider the curved garden shape. Curves are often considered more organic or natural, and in a garden border, mowing can be easier, but only if done correctly. Particularly true when using a riding mower. It also makes more work when mowing with a push mower. If the radius of the curve is smaller than the turning radius of your lawnmower, you've created a trimming nightmare that will take a lot of the fun out of mowing. In the case of a riding mower, be aware of the turning radius of your mower. If you're not sure of it, make as tight a circle as you can with the mower and measure the radius. If you have a zero-turn radius mower, you still have maneuvering room to consider. Either case, always design your planting beds so you can mow in a continuous motion without having to stop and start to get into all those tight little turf areas. General rule of thumb is be sure your curves are never tighter than a 6-foot radius. The wider the radius, the more sweeping the curves, the more pleasing design, not to mention easier care. Where your garden edge meets pavement, whether driveway, a sidewalk, or a patio area, the transition can take several forms. The edging simply tees into the hardscape, or the edging curves and seems to disappear into the edge of the hardscape. There are pros and cons to both approaches. The T transition. Pros. The T makes an abrupt, clean edge and makes a strong definition to the planting bed. Con. When mowing, one will have a 90-degree turn to make with this transition. The curved transition, the pro, it makes mowing very easy as one follows the gentle curved edge as it meets the hardscape edge. Con. It makes growing plants in the narrow transition area very difficult. There's no right or wrong, just a difference in style and choice. Keep the radii in mind when mulching trees. Even smaller trees will grow large, so start by giving them some extra room and mulching around them at the same radius as your mower. If the bare mulch area seems too much, plant annuals in the mulched area until the tree grows. With the mulch, you're also protecting the trunk of the tree from lawnmowers or string trimmers that can damage bark and ultimately kill your young tree. Probably one of the most common mistakes made by gardeners is lining the edge of the driveway with plant material. Most driveways are quite narrow. Typically, driveways are 20 feet wide, allowing two vehicles to be parked side by side. However, this does not allow for the 4 to 5 foot space required to open a vehicle door and to step out of the vehicle. Result, crushed plants. If you're ever tempted to soften the edge of your driveway with a border, be sure that your guests will not be trampling your hard work. If you have an oversized driveway that has extra space for egress from vehicles, be sure to plant your greenery away from the edge of the concrete. Talking about sidewalks, it is best to have, at a minimum, a 54-inch wide sidewalk for the main approach to your home. Most residential walkways are 48 inches wide and can be found as narrow as 36 inches. Two people walking comfortably side by side typically requires 54 inches. Whenever possible, keep the approach to your home grand and reduce the width of the more utilitarian areas if possible. And as you plan for visitors, be sure to avoid narrow turf areas where a mower cannot fit. This makes for more maintenance. Generally, curves are easier to maintain, the broader, more sweeping forms being easiest. Reserve straight lines for those formal gardens where you fully expect to spend extra time on maintenance. Some of the greatest gardeners are built on geometry of angles and lines, so if that's your style, by all means, make the most of it and then enjoy. And now, from the Raleigh News and Observer, Find Surprises in Your Landscape by Nancy Brakey. After a few weeks of cold, gloomy, wet weather when there was little to draw us outdoors, it was fun to go looking for surprises in the landscape this week. They were there, too. Lovely little flowers, such as winter honeysuckle, opened to reveal their lovely scent right on time. Hardy ferns, such as the reliable autumn, looked fresh as a spring day, even though the fronds had emerged many months ago. Plus, there are the surprises. Camellias that hunkered down and kept their buds closed tightly through the coldest weeks are now starting to open again, a joyful sight. I am particularly impressed by the beautiful Lady Claire Camellia, whose first buds opened in early November and continued into December. Some open blooms were lost to the deep freeze, but the buds survived without damage. They began to open a couple of weeks ago, showing no sign they ever endured those very cold nights. I was surprised they held up so well. Perhaps an even bigger surprise is how well most things, including broad-leaved evergreens, stood up to the very cold temperatures. Some browning of the edges of leaves, such as viburnums, appears alarming at first, but should not cause worry. Fresh growth this spring will overcome it. It might worry you to see these brown edges, but if you start cutting on spring-flowering plants, you will likely lose flower buds that should open normally and on time. That would be a bad surprise. These survivors show that we got away pretty well despite the temperatures below 10 degrees. That is largely because of the landscape plants being in full dormancy at the time. This is so different from the freeze that occurred last April, when many plants, notably hydrangeas, had broken dormancy, were starting to grow, and suffered mightily from temperatures that were merely in the low 20s. Covering the plants with bed sheets proved helpful and worth the effort in protecting tender foliage and buds those few nights. Fescue lawns are getting ready to break dormancy as well and can benefit from mid-February from lawn fertilizer suited for cool season lawns. The fescue grass starts to grow surprisingly early in the Piedmont and needs fertilizer for good growth through the spring. If you have bare spots in the lawn, give them attention with a bit of seeding and fertilizing as well. If you are working on bare spots, remember to dig up the area with your shovel to make it loose and give seeds a place to lodge cozily and sink the new tiny roots. Another nice surprise for spring. Now from the National Gardening Association e-newsletter. Preparing a new garden plot. Eliminating weeds and getting the soil ready for your flowers and vegetables are important first steps in growing a successful garden. Time spent in preparation reduces the time that you'll have to spend maintaining and weeding your garden over the growing season. Tools and materials. String and wooden stakes, spade, glyphosate herbicide, optional, hoe or mattock, steel garden rake, soil testing sample kit, soil amendments as required, a garden fork or rototiller. Vegetable gardens and most flower beds require at least 6 hours of full sun each day. Choose a level spot with well-drained soil if possible. Thick grass or vigorous weed growth usually indicate soil drainage and nutrient levels that will support healthy garden plants. Outline the new garden plot with string and stakes, a hose, or a line of powdered limestone. Remove existing lawn by slicing under the sod with a spade and cutting it into manageable pieces. Add the pieces to your compost or use it to patch bare spots elsewhere. Kill weeds with glyphosate herbicide, pull them by hand, or chop them with a hoe or mattock and rake them up. If time permits, you can smother grass and weeds with old carpeting or black plastic anchored to the ground. For best results, leave the covering in place for several weeks of hot weather. Send a sample of garden soil to a private or cooperative extension office soil testing lab for nutrient and pH analysis. Call the lab or a local garden center for a collection kit and instructions on how to collect the sample. Test results will tell you which minerals and pH amendments your soil needs. Add amendments. Adjust the soil pH by adding ground limestone or sulfur as recommended by the soil test results. Improve the soil fertility, clay soil drainage, and sandy soil water holding capacity by adding organic material such as compost, well-rotted livestock manure, or composted fir bark. Apply a 1 to 2 inch layer of organic material over the garden. Work the amendments into the top 6 to 12 inches of soil with a rototiller or a garden fork. Break up large clods and remove rocks and roots. Work the soil only when it is dry enough to crumble easily after squeezing, never when it is saturated with water. Tips. The best time to eliminate weeds and grass is the season before you plan to plant your garden. You can do it just prior to planting, too, but may have more weeds pop up throughout the growing season. Do-it-yourself soil test kits work best for detecting the soil pH, but give only a rough idea of the nutrient levels. Professional tests provide more thorough and accurate information and recommendations. From the Triangle Gardener, Great Evergreens for Screens and Hedges by Charlotte Glenn. Need some privacy? Want to screen out the view in your neighbor's yard? Consider planting a living fence of evergreen shrubs, but look beyond the common disease-plagued Leyland cypress. Hollies are great. In the Southeast, hollies are a favorite for a long-lived, attractive, low-maintenance screen. Several varieties are available that work well as hedges because of their upright growth habit. The varieties Nellie Stevens, Oak Leaf, and Emily Bruner all produce dense, dark green foliage year-round, and red berries that persist through fall and winter. Each of these varieties grows to 15 to 20 feet tall and 8 to 10 feet wide. Hollies grow best in sites with sun to part shade and well-drained soil, and are drought-tolerant once established. Deer may browse the tips of holly branches, but are unlikely to cause severe damage to these spiny-leaved plants. Upright shrubs for narrow spaces. Upright evergreens work well as screens in narrow spaces because they take up little horizontal space. Two of the narrowest evergreens available are Spartan juniper and Emerald abrevitae, both of which grow 15 feet tall and only 3 to 4 feet wide. The main difference in these two plants is the conditions in which they prefer to grow. Spartan is great for well-drained sites because it is very drought-tolerant, whereas Emerald prefers moist soils. Both grow best in full sun. If you need a columnar evergreen for a shady site, consider Japanese Plum Yew. While several low-spreading selections of this shrub are available, the cultivar Fastigiata will grow 10 to 12 feet tall and 6 to 8 feet wide. Japanese Plum Yew will grow in sun or shade and is rarely bothered by deer. Clearia is another relatively narrow, upright evergreen that is great for hedges. This tough, adaptable shrub is covered in glossy green leaves. Clearia thrives in sun or shade, is drought-tolerant and deer-resistant, and will grow 10 to 15 feet tall and 6 to 8 feet wide. Flowering evergreens for screening. Evergreens with showy or fragrant blooms provide a bonus feature for landscapes, providing seasonal interest as well as year-round screening. Large evergreens with attractive flowers that can be used for screens include camellias and Fortune's tea olive. Although slow-growing, camellias make spectacular hedges, especially the fall-blooming Sasanqua varieties like Kanjiro and Setsugeka, each of which will grow to 10 feet tall. For best results, plant camellias in moist, well-drained soil in a site with afternoon shade. Fortune's tea olive has clusters of small white flowers that line the stems in fall, allowing their exceptional fragrance to drift through the landscape. The leaves of this dense evergreen are slightly spiny and are rarely browsed by deer. Fortune's tea olive is a long-lived shrub that eventually reaches 15 to 20 feet tall and 10 to 15 feet wide. It's a great choice for sunny or partly shaded areas where a large impenetrable screen is needed. And now some garden events. The 23rd Annual Hellebore Festival, February 16th, 17th, 23rd, and 24th, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. See hellebores on display and for sale. This will be at Pine Knot Farms. Call 434-252-1990. 434-252-1990 for more information. And creating a successful home landscape when ecology and aesthetics meet. February the 17th from 8 a.m. until 12 noon. The 7th Annual JCRA Winter Symposium focuses on integrating creative function into the home landscape in a way that is both beautiful and ecologically responsible. Featuring three prominent professional landscape designers and home gardeners who lend their varied backgrounds and specialties to provide fresh vision for home landscapes. There's a fee, and you need to pre-register. This will happen at the J.C. Ralston Arboretum in Raleigh. For more information, you can call 919-515-3132. 919-515-3132. Hydroponics 101, February the 17th, 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. A class dedicated to the science of hydroponics. Continue at 1 p.m. with juicing with homegrown microgreens. This happens at Atlantic Gardening Company in Raleigh. And Ready, Garden, Grow, an introduction to vegetable gardening. Also on February the 17th, from 2 p.m. until 5 p.m. Beginning gardeners learn the basics for starting a vegetable garden. Topics include planning, preparation, planting, and care for your vegetable garden. Managing the most common garden problems, and harvesting the vegetables you grow. You do need to pre-register. This will happen at the Southeast Library in Gardner. Caring for your landscape, February the 17th through March the 3rd, Saturdays, 9:30 a.m. until 11:30 a.m. Learn the steps of establishing a new landscape, watering, plant staking, and plant's nutritional needs, plus long-term maintenance tasks, including pruning, weed control, fertilizing, and pest control. There is a fee, and you need to pre-register. This will happen at the Sarah P. Duke Gardens in Durham. You can call 919-668-1707. 919-668-1707 for more information. And Vegetable Gardening Workshop, February the 18th, from 1 p.m. until 3 p.m. Learn how to grow spring vegetables, including what and when to plant, tips for growing each variety, growing your own seedlings, tips on protecting plants from freezing, and how to get a large harvest from a small space. This happens at the Newman Catholic Student Center in Chapel Hill. There is a fee, and pre-registration is required. For more information, call 919-962-0522. 919-962-0522. And Garden Guide Training. That's going to be February the 20th, the 22nd, the 27th, and March 1st, 6th, and 8th, 9:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Become a garden guide and help us educate thousands of people each year through school field trips, adult group tours, and family special events. In-depth training covers the garden's history and mission, southeastern native plants and habitats, plant-animal interactions, interpretive techniques, and field trip programs. It's free, but pre-registration is required. This will happen at the North Carolina Botanical Garden in Chapel Hill. For information, call 919-962-0522. That's 919-962-0522. And the Durham Garden Forum Vertical Gardening, February the 20th, from 6:30 p.m. until 8 p.m. Join us in this program on vertical gardening and learn to build your own living wall. There is a fee, and you need to pre-register. This happens at the Sarah P. Duke Gardens in Durham. For more information, call 919-668-1707. That number again is 919-668-1707. And from Jerry Baker's terrific garden tonics, here's a bedding plant starter brew. Once you're satisfied that you're getting the healthiest transplants possible, bring them home and treat them with this starter brew until you're ready to get them in the ground. The ingredients: 2 teaspoons of fish emulsion, 2 teaspoons of dishwashing liquid, 1 teaspoon of whiskey, and 1 quart of water. Instructions: mix these ingredients in a watering can and feed this formula to your adopted seedlings every other time you water them. Give them a good soak with it just before you set them out, too. Then stand back and enjoy the best-looking bloomers on the block. And a pinch in time. It may seem cruel, but pinching or snipping off the tops of the stems and removing any flowers will do your transplants a big favor. They'll put more energy into growing new roots, so they'll settle in quicker. Plus, they'll come back a whole lot bushier with lots more blooms. And that's what flower gardening is all about. And when you're shopping for bedding plants in spring, don't be too quick to plunk down your hard-earned dough. Before you buy, take a close look at the flowers, stems, and leaves, both the tops and bottoms, for signs of pests or diseases. Carefully tip each plant out of its pot to make sure it has healthy white, yellow, or bright brown roots, not black or rotted or wound around each other, and look at the overall plant to see if it has yellow foliage or spindly stems with few leaves. A sickly plant is no bargain at any price. Planning to put in a rock garden this year to create the perfect growing condition for plants that like their soil lean and mean? Mix equal parts coarse sand, compost, or leaf mold, and gravel. Spread over the soil and work it in before planting, and toss an extra handful into each planting hole as well. We've run out of time for today's episode of Out in the Garden. Be sure to listen next time. Hope you enjoyed it. I'm Cindy Fowler, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired and is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, triangleredingservice.org. So long until the next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.